Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Good morning and welcome to Cosmic Influence. My name is Walter Cretinen and I'm here with co-host Jeff Patino.
How are you?
And we are the show that explores the possibility that ancient civilizations may have been correct in their belief that history moves in a great cycle with high ages of enlightenment and low ages of darkness. And part of our work here at the Binary Institute delves into the driver of this cycle, the precession of the equinox, and we're also very interested in exactly what ancient cultures knew or didn't know, because we believe that our current understanding of history may be lacking in certain places. And so Jeff and I, as you know, interview many experts, authors, researchers on ancient cultures and cosmology. And we have with us today a very, very interesting guest.
Yes, we do. And hi, I'm Jeff Patino, and once again, thanks for joining us. If at any point during the show you'd like more information on the Binary Research Institute or Walter's book, Lost Star of Myth and Time, please visit us at our website, binaryresearchinstitute.org. And Walter, you're right, we've got a fantastic guest with us today in today's program. Peter Kingsley is an author and researcher who is internationally recognized for his groundbreaking work on the origins of Western spirituality, philosophy, and culture. Dr. Kingsley's books include Reality and In the Dark Places of Wisdom, both of which are available, I know, on Amazon.com.
Yes, and it was the book In the Dark Places of Wisdom that I read, maybe about a year ago now, that really moved me and got me interested in Peter's work, because I think he has spotted something that many others have forgotten, and that is that the very early Greek scholars or the very early Greek scientists that we tend to attribute the beginning of logic to and the beginning of so many sciences were much more than just physicists investigating the material world. And Peter has pointed out how deep and mystical the traditions are that some of these individuals come from. And so we look forward to talking to Peter about that.
Yes, very much so. And I think that's an excellent point. The whole idea that the Greeks were much more spiritual and mystical than we give them credit for today, especially in today's world of over-rationalism and over-scientification of everything.
Yeah, Jeff and I were just talking about this on the way up in the car, that we now have so many gadgets we hardly have time for true pursuits of philosophy and, you know, true leisure and meditation, and because we're all so busy with our time-saving gadgets and devices.
And that's exactly the opposite of what world fairs and predictions of the future always said, that all these gadgets would just give us so much more leisure time and time to really become more philosophical and invest in the kind of more whimsical pursuits of the world, and technology has definitely not done that.
Right. So I want to get Peter on as soon as we can, but we're going to have to do that on our next section coming up here. And in the meantime, can Let's let our listeners know where they can find out about Peter's books and so forth.
Peter's books, probably the best place would be his website, which is peterkingsley.com. It's a great resource. It's got articles that he's written, as well as information on all his books and his background as well.
And some very fascinating articles, too. So we will be right back. I'm Walter Cruttenden, and this is Jeff Pitino, and you are listening to Cosmic Influence.
Water. In the hot summer sun, water is a natural thought, like relaxing at the beach with the waves lapping at your feet, or perhaps being with your significant other under a secluded, gently cascading waterfall. If you want a little more action, how about water skiing or boating on an icy, clear blue lake? With Expedia.com, everything you need for travel, flights, hotels, cruises, vacation packages, they have it all at a price you can afford. Go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Expedia.com.
The weather looks like it could get nasty. Let's put out the tent.
I didn't bring it. Did you?
No tent here.
Flashlight?
Emergencies are no joke. Don't get caught unprepared.
Munchies?
Get an emergency kit. Make a plan. Communicate and stay informed.
Hi, I'm Janae Bonner. My husband, Congressman Joe Bonner, and I urge you and your family to be ready for any emergency. Find out how at ready.gov.
This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Mystic Pop didn't mean to burst your bubble, but the new age is over.
Come into the now age and find the latest and greatest in spirituality, mind, body, and soul with Mystic Pop magazine.
Every full-color issue is bursting with enlightened interviews, features, and current reviews of your favorite now age authors, musicians, artists, and more. Step out of the old world new age and into the now with Mystic Pop magazine. Ask for it at your local bookstores like Barnes & Noble, Borders, Books A Million, and many independent stores.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Cosmic Influence. I'm Walter Cruttenden here with Jeff Pitino. And today we are interviewing Peter Kingsley. And we had improperly given his website address before. It is actually www.peterkingsley.org rather than .com. And we invite you to visit the site and read about Peter's work. As stated, Peter is the author of three books, Reality and the Dark Places of Wisdom and Ancient Philosophy, Mystery and Magic, and numerous articles. He's a much sought-after speaker, and I would now like to welcome Peter. Peter, are you there?
I am here. Thank you, Walter. Pleasure to meet you and Jeff.
Likewise, and thank you for joining us today.
It's a pleasure.
As I mentioned earlier, your book, In the Dark Places of Wisdom, really moved me because I sense that you see something in very ancient cultures that is often ignored by many scholars today, and that is that our very early scientists, if you will, or philosophers, were much more than just Stone Age men coming up with the first principles of physics, that they were really very deep thinkers and profound individuals. And I'm wondering how you got to this place in the first, in the beginning, because it appears you had a very traditional academic background.
Well, yes, let me start off by just taking, if I may, the word seen, where you said a moment ago you credited me with seeing that these ancient people were not just rationalists or not what they're usually made out to be. I think I have to say, in all honesty, I didn't see, I was shown. And for me, that's a very important difference, because it poses the question, how, if you or I agree that ancient civilizations, for example, the ancient Greeks, had a certain wisdom, a certain sophisticated knowledge that we've lost in the West, how do we gain access to that again? And I know I can say, in all honesty to myself, as far as myself you know, as far as I'm concerned. What happened was that I reached a stage of knowing there was something there, desperately wanting to find more than was being offered in the contemporary world, but just reaching a point of openness, like it was real surrender, quite despair for a long time. And in that state of just needing to know, I was shown. I can't say that I saw it. And this has really been a process now for 35 years of somewhere asking in the depths of myself and then being shown and then having to face the consequences of being shown that. Because when we are shown something beautiful or wonderful, there is a tremendous indebtedness and a need to give one's life to serving what one has been shown.
Well, let me just point out to our listeners that Peter graduated from the University of Lancaster in England. He went on to receive a degree of Master of Letters from the King's College, Cambridge. He was awarded a PhD at the University of London, and he worked with some of the most prominent figures in the fields of classics and anthropology, philosophy, and religious studies. And so here again, Peter, you have this wonderfully a deep and classic background, and you're and yet you bring this sort of an inner light to the teachings. And does this come from a philosophy or religion that you were originally brought up in? Is this how you were shown?
No. This, if I can try and make this clear in half a minute, if that's possible. I was shown what I saw by the people, by the ancient Greeks themselves. I had no real religious conditioning before that was of any significance at all to me. And as I say, it was a process of searching. And then what I came to discover was actually shown to me, especially by someone called Empedocles, who lived 2,500 years ago, also Parmenides. I found that they were alive, and it was a shock of realizing that people I thought I was studying were really studying me, and it was a completely reverse process. So if I can just make things clear, yes, I do have a, quote, distinguished academic career, but all of those steps, including my first book being published by Oxford University Press, were as the result of being guided inwardly by the people who I was writing about.
I find that so beautiful, because so few will actually admit that nowadays, that they might be guided in such a way, but I appreciate that insight. And so maybe now, if you could, just please tell us a little bit about Parmenides and his fellows, the time he lived, and what was going on in this period.
Very good. It'll be a great pleasure. Parmenides lived about 2,500 years ago in southern Italy. His parents and ancestors came from what now is the western coast of Turkey. Parmenides is a very extraordinary man in Western intellectual history, because there's no question, there's no doubt in anyone's mind that he is the father of logic. He is the founder of Western rationalism. Everybody has agreed on that. But unfortunately, we have ideas now, basically ever since the time of Aristotle, we have ideas what logic is and what logic should be. And I came to discover over many years that this isn't what logic was for Parmenides, and beyond that, logic was actually given to Western civilization with a very particular sacred purpose which has been forgotten. And that purpose originally was not for logic to be something that stimulates our minds, sharpens our brains, makes us split hairs. Logic originally was a gift from the gods to take us back to the gods. It was a technique for disciplining our thoughts and our minds in such a way that we would be led back consciously to the divine reality.
So then logic was not a just a natural outgrowth of working in the material world to better our standard of living.
Well, this is one of the myths that I find it very hard to battle with, because, of course, we live now in a Darwinian world where everything is predicated on the basis of progress and evolution. And so we have the Darwinian idea of evolution of the species, and then we have, this happened especially in the Victorian era, but we still nowadays have it, even though we're supposed to be living in a post-structural so-and-so culture, we still have all this baggage of things started off very primitive, they're getting better and better, we're getting faster and faster cars each year, we're getting faster and faster stock market, better cell phones and internet, so therefore we are progressing. And one of the things that I find rather amusing is that this idea of material progress, of which, of course, America is the classic example, this idea of material progress has actually gone over into the spiritual world. And so we have many, many ideas now about spiritual evolution, about how we're reaching a stage in global consciousness that has never been reached by humanity before. And although there is a certain truth to that from my point of view, from my understanding, which is based in the ancient Greeks and beyond, it is really vastly untrue, because there is so much wisdom that has been lost that if we can just reclaim a fraction of that, we have done better than could be expected.
That's a really, really great way to look at the world. And I'm really fascinated by the idea that logic, like you said, logic was a gift from the gods to take us back to the gods, that's actually a spiritual tool.
Yes. And that is really one thing I should emphasize, because my work and the work of the foundation, the Peter Kingsley Foundation, and you said this can be accessed through our website, peterkingsley.org. You know, please, if people want to look at the whole context of this, I would invite them to go there, because really this work that I'm committed to is saying Western civilization has a sacred origin. Everything that we think of as materialistic has a sacred origin. Everything that we as mystics or would-be meditators or would-be discoverers or searchers look to the East to try and go beyond or escape from, everything that we're trying to run from has a sacred origin. It seems to me that is really our duty somehow to get back and discover the sacred gifts that we have been given, rather than looking to other cultures all the time to try and pluck the fruits from their tree.
Intuitively, it rings true, Peter. It's just that as you say, the paradigm is so different than what we've been brought up with and taught in school and that's imprinted in our minds right now in so-called modern society. And this is one thing that Jeff and I have really tried to work on also, is that we like this whole idea of cycles and trying to bring back ancient wisdom. And we too keep running into the same issue that the Darwinian point of view is so strong that it's hard to make much headway.
It's hard to even break out of that mindset sometimes.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So what steps can we start taking as individuals or even as society, do you think, to start attempting to relearn some of these philosophies?
Sorry, to attempt to?
To relearn or get back to that other way of thinking.
Well, it seems to me, Jeff, that it's all inside ourselves. And it's like when I said to begin with, I have to be very careful not to say I take the credit for seeing something, that it was shown to me. I'm very aware that everything that I have discovered or written about has been a gift to me. If I'm able to pass it on, that is a part of the privilege of being in this peculiar setup that I found myself. And I think that a big problem here simply has to do with the ego, and of course that is the perennial spiritual problem. Do we need to claim so much for ourselves? Is it possible that we can sink deeper into ourselves and find what is underneath the little I that claims so much for itself? And, I mean, in this particular tradition that I'm connected with, we work especially through the technique of incubation, which is a very, very beautiful ancient Western meditation practice for sinking deep, deep inside ourselves.
And how does incubation differ, because I read about this in your book, how does it differ from meditation?
Well, that is, it's a very simple question and a very complicated question at the same time. In incubation, this incubation traditionally was a method used by ancient Greeks, ancient Romans, and before the Greeks in Egypt, Mesopotamia, many other cultures, through to Tibet, Nepal, India, Central Asia. This was a very, very ancient technique for going to the source, going to the heart of reality. And you see very clearly, especially with the ancient Greeks, that this technique was not just something that you learned. It was actually the last resort. It was used for healing. When you couldn't get fixed by a doctor, when the remedies didn't work, whatever the doctors didn't try didn't succeed, the last recourse was incubation. You would go to the temple of a god or a goddess, to a shrine, usually it was a dark place, maybe a cave, and you would lie down and you would surrender. And again, here is this idea of surrendering to something greater than yourself. And I have seen myself in the Middle East, for example, I've seen people, especially women, how they incubate nowadays. They just lie down on the floor, on the dirt, in the ground. It's not a pretty thing. You don't sit in a lotus position or any other yoga posture. You abandon yourself. Now, I used to do yoga, and I wish I could do more. I'm all for yoga, but there is something about the postures that have come through to the West through Hatha Yoga. It's something that we do, and there is a difference between the posture of sitting in meditation and starting to meditate the way we have been trained, and what to me is the much more beautiful and natural and organic process of just lying down on the ground in incubation and creating a space in which something can come to you.
Speaking of creating space, we need to create just a little space in the program right now. And so we will be right back. You are listening to Cosmic Influence. Our special guest today is Peter Kingsley.
If you are interested in the topics discussed on today's show, you'll want to see Walter Crittenden's award-winning film, The Great Year, narrated by James Earl Jones. Why do civilizations fall and rise again? What did the ancients say about the cycle of the ages? The Great Year explores the possibility that the rise and fall of human culture might be related to our sun's motion around a companion star. Find out more about the celestial mechanics that bring higher ages of enlightenment and learn where we are today in this grand cycle of time. It's a message of hope and inspiration and answers many questions about the greatest enigmas of human history. Order the DVD today at thegreatyear.com. That's www.thegreatyear.com. www.thegreatyear.com.
Lost Star of Myth and Time by Walter Crittenden is the hot new bestseller, stirring controversy with a new view of ancient history. Graham Hancock calls the evidence in this epic book the key to the mystery of the ages. Where is present-day civilization headed? What did the ancients know about the cosmos? Do stellar influences affect consciousness and the rise and fall of civilization? Lost Star of Myth and Time answers these questions and more. Lost Star of Myth and Time at a bookstore near you.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. earthchannel.com. gmail.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to earthchannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Welcome back to The Cosmic Influence with Walter Cruttenden, and I'm the co-host Jeff Pitino. We're talking today with Peter Kingsley, and right before the break we were talking about incubation and just using that as a method to really get past the ego and look inside spiritually.
As a process of renewal, and this is such an unusual or foreign idea to most people nowadays. Peter, I'm hoping you can help us put this in context and maybe tell us how exactly where Parmenides is in relation to Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, if you can, both time and sort of philosophically, if you could.
Now, that is a huge question. And here you're again... You're inviting me to talk about history in such a way that I have to avoid the traps of evolutionism and the reverse, the decadence model, which can be equally false. It's very, very difficult, and I think for me even to talk about the connection between Parmenides and Socrates, who of course is much better known, that in itself is a whole story. Do we really, let me put it this way, Socrates is known as someone who stood behind Plato, was very important in the formulation of Western philosophical concepts and ideas, just as Parmenides is known as the founder of logic. What I've tried to ask in my books is, what do we really know about Parmenides? Well, we know nothing, because archaeological discoveries were made in his hometown in southern Italy that proved he was a priest of the god Apollo, that he was a dream interpreter, that he was a healer, that he was a very, very powerful shamanic figure. And what I find so interesting is that these archaeological discoveries have been known now for 50 years. Scholars want nothing to do with them, even though I've written about them myself. Still, they're so far outside of this paradigm we function in. How do you relate to that? And now in relation to Socrates, he's something that we can read about. He's somebody we can read his ideas when we're undergraduates. But the question I would ask is, Socrates was put to death in Athens because he asked too many embarrassing questions. He wanted to get to the truth at all costs. And he annoyed quite a lot of people. He pissed off some important folks, and they got rid of him. And, you know, the question I really like to ask, and I mention this in my book, Reality, not to provoke, but really to ask something very serious, is, sure, you can be studying or teaching Socrates in a modern university, but what would you do or what would you feel if he walked into the room? Do you really want to have your ideas about what life is torn apart? Do you really want at all costs to face the truth? And I think that the answer, honestly, for most of us is no, not yet.
That's a good point. Well, most of us are still just forming what those ideas are right now, too.
Well, we're all scared somewhere. But, you know, I mean, this is a tremendous, tremendous commitment. And what Parmenides was inviting, what Parmenides tried to bring about through logic and said, look, logic is this gift from the gods to take us back to the gods. Do we really want to go back to the gods? I know I do, but I've had to be really... shown so many things I didn't want to see, and then be shown so many wonders that I couldn't have imagined would be so beautiful. Mm. It's like, you know, this is in philosophy originally meant the love of wisdom. And how many of us really, really love wisdom enough to give our lives to it? And that's what this work that we do here is about. It's something very simple, incredibly powerful, and very timeless.
I love it. Tell me, Peter, in this incubation process, you mentioned that they would often go to a dark place, a cave or something like that.
Yeah.
And it just reminded me, I've read about these underground chambers that they had on Malta that they found that date to, distant antiquity.
Yes.
What do you think the purpose of those was?
Well, an underground chamber, and especially when connected with the very, very powerful religions of the goddess in places like Malta, these always have to do with sinking into the depths of the feminine, accessing all the wisdom of the sacred feminine, which usually has to do with going into the underworld. It's not this idea of having to ascend to heaven and find everything there. You see, for me, this is one of the many ways, the facets, in which the ancient Greeks and other ancient cultures and Babylonians and Egyptians were so much wiser than us. They didn't look to the sky for the source of light. They looked into the darkness. They knew intuitively, and of course this is the alchemical point of view too, you find the source of light hidden in the darkness. And we try to take the quick way of just looking up at the sky. But, these ancients, Parmenides, Empedocles, these ancient Greeks, they all said the stars, the sun, everything comes out of the belly of the underworld, out of the darkness. Of course, you see this very much in ancient Egyptian cosmology too. You have to find the midnight sun. And that is what, to me, these descents, these underground chambers and shrines have to do with.
Do you see, you just mentioned that you see that a lot in Egyptian cosmology as well. Do you see a lot of connections between the Greek ideas and, say, Vedic ideas and Egyptian ideas as well?
Yes. I mean, this is a huge question, Jeff. This is an enormous question. It would be lovely just to speak with you about this for a few hours alone. But, again, there are there are all the problems of oversimplification here. We live in a terribly, terribly dried up culture where we have really come to believe that we in the West are different from other civilizations and countries and cultures and religions. And we have this illusion that now we can make contact through global transport and everything. We can now for the first time access all these other cultures. Well, that access, that interconnectedness, was there at the beginning. The Greeks had very, very close contacts with Egyptians. And there was that was a contact of mutual respect. It wasn't a context of one-way borrowing, let alone stealing, as the Greeks are sometimes nowadays accused of stealing from the Egyptians. This was a two-way interaction. This was an exchange of wisdom. The ancient Egyptian priests would not give any of their wisdom to anybody unless that person proved deserving of it. And there were also contacts with Asia, between the Greeks and Asia. For some reason, we've become rather focused nowadays, I think a little bit too much, on Vedic tradition, on India. And, of course, Indian tradition is very, very important, supremely important, but what I've discovered working back step by step from the ancient Greeks, they didn't have contact with Indians in a void. They did have contact, but it wasn't in a void. The Greeks had contact with India through Central Asia and through the Iranians. And this takes us back to this ancient, ancient Iranian, Indo-European culture where the Avesta of the Zoroastrians and the Vedas of the Indians actually with the same language.
That's a fascinating thought, and I want to continue with that right after we get back from the break. You're listening to Cosmic Influence.
Lost Star of Myth and Time by Walter Cruttendon is the hot new bestseller, stirring controversy with a new view of ancient history. Graham Hancock calls the evidence in this epic book the key to the mystery of the ages. Where is present-day civilization headed? What did the ancients know about the cosmos? Do stellar influences affect consciousness and the rise and fall of civilization? Lost Star of Myth and Time answers these questions and more. Lost Star of Myth and Time in a bookstore near you.
What does HealthyLife.net and Amazon.com have in common? Well, they're both available on the internet. They both give great value. But most important, most of our positive program hosts and guests are accomplished authors, and their books are available from, you got it, Amazon.com. Now, it even gets better than that, because when you're listening on air to a HealthyLife.net host or guest, you can go directly to Amazon.com, and you can order your book while you're still listening to your favorite HealthyLife.net program. So when you hear an author you like, go to the homepage of HealthyLife.net and click on Amazon.com.
If you are interested in the topics discussed on today's show, you'll want to see Walter Crittenden's award-winning film, The Great Year, narrated by James Earl Jones. Why do civilizations fall and rise again? What did the ancients say about the cycle of the ages? The Great Year explores the possibility that the rise and fall of human culture might be related to our sun's motion around a companion star. Find out more about the celestial mechanics that bring higher ages of enlightenment and learn where we are today in this grand cycle of time. It's a message of hope and inspiration and answers many questions about the greatest enigmas of human history. Order the DVD today at thegreatyear.com. That's www.thegreatyear.com. www.thegreatyear.com.
Byregion.net is the largest healing arts directory on the web. Our visitors are looking for holistic practitioners, schools, events, healing services, and products. Are you in healing arts? Become a member of Byregion.net and get the best advertising values. You can increase your client base and your traffic. If you have a website, we can bring you more traffic. Want a website? Get a beautiful web display for only $4 a month. Become a member now. Mention HealthyLife.net and get 6 months free. Visit www.byregion.net or call 828-232-0016.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Welcome back to Cosmic Influence. I'm Walter Crutton with Jeff Patino, and today we're speaking with Peter Kingsley about the knowledge and wisdom of the ancients, and we were just talking about the connectedness between ancient Greece and Egyptian and Vedic philosophy, and then you just started to mention before the break, Peter, that this also relates to the ancient Iranian, Persian, Zoroastrian culture. And I'm wondering, you know, how deep is that connection? Because our early histories were often taught that these people are just barely aware of each other or fighting at best.
No. There was a tremendous flow and interaction, and this is really being understood more and more nowadays by archaeologists. Historians of ideas are a bit slower catching on to the picture, but it was a tremendously fluid world, everywhere from the eastern edges of Greece, the eastern Mediterranean, through to China, was basically one fluid, interconnected, fundamentally nomadic culture.
And what period of time are we talking about here, roughly?
Well, we're talking... I have a problem with time. If I go back beyond about 27 to 8800 years, I have a problem measuring time. That is another subject. Then we get into a rather esoteric area, because to me, time actually changes when we get back before about 800 BC. And there are problems for me in calculating according to our time measurements. But that is really a whole different topic. But certainly going back as far as I can see, and then really what happened with Alexander the Great, just a couple of hundred years or so before Jesus Christ, is not a new opening up of the world. It's really, on a very small scale, reopening or remanifesting connections that have been there for hundreds, and I would say it's probably thousands of years.
Yes. As you know, Jeff and I were very much of the sort of the great year philosophy as it relates to time, and it seems that by the time you're getting to Alexander, you're getting in closer to the darker ages.
I agree, absolutely. Yes.
Or the Kali Yuga, and Yeah, now we're visiting our neighbors not to exchange a philosophy and trade to each other's benefits, but rather to conquer.
Yeah.
And we begin to lose something.
We begin to lose everything.
Well spoken.
May I just say one thing, because it's been somewhere at the back of my mind since we started?
Please.
And that is really your original question about me as a scholar and how I came to this. I'd like to make one thing clear, because I find more and more that I don't speak from the position of Peter Kingsley in the 21st century, that more and more Peter Kingsley is not really important. And I trust that to the best of my ability, I represent this wisdom, this very, very deep, timeless wisdom of the ancient Greeks, which has a very important role to play now at the beginning of the 21st century in terms of what is going to happen next with our culture. There's this whole connection between the past, the present, and the future. But one thing I feel I really need to try and get over is we live in a very split society now. And there is the idea of science on the one hand and mysticism on the other. There is the idea of the academic on the one hand and the mystic on another. There's the idea of the intellectual versus the whatever. And I really want to make the point that there is no contradiction whatever between science and mysticism, and that the first scientists in the West, the people who were making the most important astronomical, chemical, every kind of discovery, biological discovery, they were mystics. And to be a real mystic is to be able to measure the immeasurable. And to be a scientist is actually to be able to access a whole openness of vision that I think is very much closed to modern scientists. So I don't feel embarrassed or ashamed in speaking like this as a scholar, because to me this is what scholars should be.
You know, and that point came through loud and clear in your book, In the Dark Places of Wisdom. When I had read that the father of logic in the Western culture received his ideas from the gods, and in the dark places, it just a light went off in my head, and this is one reason we wanted to have you on the program.
Oh, yes, thank you. And I'd just like to say we've just come out with a DVD. Actually, it's an interview I did last year. It's called The Great Secret, and it's available through our website. And really, I mention this now because that brings that understanding of history and of 2,500 years ago into the present moment. And so I talk not only about the past, but also about its significance for the present.
Oh, good. And is this DVD available through your website?
It is, yes. And it's through peterkingsley.org, and the DVD is called The Great Secret.
Good. I'll be sure to get a copy myself there, Peter.
How do you see our accepted histories of this region of Greece and the time period changing over time in our society?
How do I see?
In other words, Peter, do you think that we'll start to get it fairly soon, or are we just talking in the wind here?
I'm not sure, and I don't like to minimize the difficulties of changing the paradigms that we work inside of. This is one of the themes that I know you're interested in, the Golden Age and the Great Year. Obviously, we don't have time to talk about that today, but there are tremendous problems in changing the paradigms of how we think and how we function. And if you don't mind me just saying this, my general impression with a lot of the evolutionary thinking and talking going on nowadays, it's actually a matter of, it's really what's happening is people are trying to pour new wine into old bottles, or pour old wine into new bottles. To me, we have to have new wine in new bottles, and of course then that's the mystery, when suddenly what is totally new, we realize we're connecting with what is extremely ancient. We cannot take the paradigms of the last 2,000 years into the future. And how that happens, it happens slowly. It happens on an individual basis. I don't see a global spontaneous mass awakening happening. Each of us has to play our part in our lives, not anywhere else, in our daily lives. And it is a slow, miraculous, terrible, grueling, glorious process.
Well said. We have to take a short break. You are listening to our special guest today, Peter Kingsley. I'm Walter Cretton with Jeff Pitino, and we will be right back.
If you are interested in the topics discussed on today's show, you'll want to see Walter Cretton's award-winning film, The Great Year, narrated by James Earl Jones. Why do civilizations fall and rise again? What did the ancients say about the cycle of the ages? The Great Year explores the possibility that the rise and fall of human culture might be related to our sun's motion around a companion star. Find out more about the celestial mechanics that bring higher ages of enlightenment and learn where we are today in this grand cycle of time. It's a message of hope and inspiration and answers many questions about the greatest enigmas of human history. Order the DVD today at thegreatyear.com. That's www.thegreatyear.com. www.thegreatyear.com.
Lost Star of Myth and Time by Walter Cruttenden is the hot new bestseller, stirring controversy with a new view of ancient history. Graham Hancock calls the evidence in this epic book the key to the mystery of the ages. Where is present-day civilization headed? What did the ancients know about the cosmos? Do stellar influences affect consciousness and the rise and fall of civilization? Lost Star of Myth and Time answers these questions and more. Lost Star of Myth and Time at a bookstore near you.
In college, I took a lot of history and liberal arts classes, and frankly, I don't remember much of any of it. But as an adult, I find myself engrossed in fascinating programs on the A&E and History Channel. They've pretty much helped me to be pretty impressive at social functions, and I just found out today that I can purchase DVDs of my favorite A&E and History Channel programs right through HealthyLife.net. You should visit HealthyLife.net and order your favorite A&E and History Channel program DVDs as well, and then discover how many people you can impress during your next social occasion.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcasting coders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call EarthChannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
Welcome back to Cosmic Influence. I'm Walter Cretton with Jeff Pitino. We're talking today with Peter Kingsley. And Peter, you were just talking about that this transition that so many are talking about to some sort of a point of higher consciousness needs to take place within us. And I know that these are the points of many of your books. Do you also talk about this? You give lectures and that sort of thing on this subject?
Well, yes. I mean, this has been happening gradually, that I've been shown how the essence of ancient Greek wisdom and what lies beyond that, what goes back to Asia, you know, goes back for thousands and thousands of years, how it has to be brought into the modern world, how we have to be able to work together and function together, discuss together, meditate together in ways that allow what needs to be born in each of us can be born. This is the natural agricultural process that you see in the parables of the sower in the New Testament. It's the same idea of something alive, the seeds that have to be planted. You know, each of us has, I see this more and more, each individual is a star. Each of us is a planet. Each of us is something totally glorious. Each of us comes into existence with a unique wisdom. And that is a unique contribution to life on Earth. But how to get to that is not easy, and it needs to be done together. We need each other's support in that. And we need also techniques such as the beautiful technique of incubation that actually allows that seed to be planted and made conscious inside us.
So why is it not more obvious then? Is it because we've become too disconnected then?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. We have become disconnected, but the question is, what do we connect with? Now, that is the interesting question. What are we to connect with in order to find our own wisdom inside us? Not anybody else's wisdom, but the particular perspective, the cosmic perspective, the cosmic wisdom which is unique to us. Because we are all cosmic beings.
I see some hope in the change in attitudes towards religion nowadays, and sort of a breakdown in the Kali Yuga, very dogmatic type of religion, to more and more people are seeking, you know, it might be Eastern or it might be just more of an inward personal practice. And that gives me great hope.
And I think a lot of it, too, has to do with eventually reconnecting mysticism with science.
Absolutely. I think that is the clue. When we are taught at school how to meditate and to find the answers to the questions on the blackboard through direct knowledge inside ourselves, then we will be making progress for the future.
Yes. And that's part of what our work here is, too, is to try to bring back some of the ancient wisdom so that people can put this in perspective and we can kind of counter the point of view a little bit that we have to evolve very quickly because I don't think we do have to evolve so quickly as we just have to get back and remember the great wisdom that our great ancestors left for us.
I agree. It took thousands of years to get from there to here, and we need some patience to get back again.
Oh, we're with you on that. Peter's going to be with us at the conference on Procession and Ancient Knowledge, which will be coming up this October, October 5th, 6th, and 7th, down at UCSD. That's the University of California at San Diego. And Jeff, can you tell people how they can find out about that?
Sure. You can find more information on the conference at www.cpaconline.com. That's cpaconline.com. And we have all the information you need on how to register online and both over the phone, as well as places to stay. And we'll have the conference schedule up very soon.
Great, and I'm sure you have some engagements coming up prior to that time, maybe back closer to your neck of the woods, Peter?
Oh, yes. I'll be doing various events here in Georgia. We have some of them up on the website, and other ones will be coming up in the next few weeks, I hope.
Okay, and once again, for those that are interested in Peter's work, you can find out more at peterkingsley.org. Peter, are you working on a new book?
Well, I'm hoping. We just moved here just a month ago from California, so there's a lot of settling in. But once that's over, yes, God willing, then I will start on a new book. And I'll begin by writing about connections between the ancient Greeks and Tibet.
Wonderful.
Lost Star of Myth and Time by Walter Cruttenden is the hot new bestseller, stirring controversy with a new view of ancient history. Graham Hancock calls the evidence in this epic book the key to the mystery of the ages. Where is present-day civilization headed? What did the ancients know about the cosmos? Do stellar influences affect consciousness and the rise and fall of civilization? Lost Star of Myth and Time answers these questions and more. Lost Star of Myth and Time at a bookstore near you.
If you are interested in the topics discussed on today's show, you'll want to see Walter Crittenden's award-winning film, The Great Year, narrated by James Earl Jones. Why do civilizations fall and rise again? What did the ancients say about the cycle of the ages? The Great Year explores the possibility that the rise and fall of human culture might be related to our sun's motion around a companion star. Find out more about the celestial mechanics that bring higher ages of enlightenment and learn where we are today in this grand cycle of time. It's a message of hope and inspiration and answers many questions about the greatest enigmas of human history. Order the DVD today at thegreatyear.com. That's www.thegreatyear.com. www.thegreatyear.com.
What does HealthyLife.net and Amazon.com have in common? Well, they're both available on the internet. They both give great value. But most important, most of our positive program hosts and guests are accomplished authors, and their books are available from, you got it, Amazon.com. Now it even gets better than that, because when you're listening on air to a HealthyLife.net host or guest, you can go directly to Amazon.com and you can order your book while you're still listening to your favorite HealthyLife.net program. So when you hear an author you like, go to the homepage of HealthyLife.net and click on Amazon.com.
Well, we've just fallen in love with your work, and we think that it's extremely important to bring this knowledge back to help sort of smooth over some of the rough edges nowadays between science and religion, science and mysticism, if you will, and we think that's why what you're doing is so important. So we look forward to talking with you at the conference in the future and reading your new books and as they come out. And once again, what was the name of that DVD?
Oh, the DVD, that is called The Great Secret.
The Great Secret. Okay, I'll be ordering a copy right after this.
And it's been a great pleasure speaking with you both.
Thanks.
Thank
very
you
much.
Very much, Peter.
Peter.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cosmic Influence. I'm Walter Crittenden.
I'm Jeff Pitino, and we'll be right back.